Okay, we continue in Makos Dalet Amud Beis 4b. Probably, I don't know if you have your arts called it, maybe the second 4b 2, maybe, or the end of 1. Now we are, today, we are, oh, the thing is frozen. We are interrupting our regular scheduled sugya for a side note, as it were. Oh, see, now it's getting all my previous taps that didn't come. We're discussing Machlokas Reb Meir and the Chachamim as to whether you give two punishments, lashes and money, or double lashes if the Edim Zomamim, for example, lied about a person owing money. Do you just pay the money? The Chachamim say you just pay the money and you don't give the lashes. Or in a case where they falsely testify that someone should get lashes, you only give them one set of lashes and not another set of lashes. Well, Reb Meir comes along and says you give them both punishments. So we asked, we just started last week, and we said, well, the rabbis, we understand, because there's a pasuk that says you don't give two punishments, you only give one punishment, so we give the one punishment of the money. But according to Reb Meir, why does he disagree with that and say you give both punishments? It seems to go against the rule you don't give two punishments. So Ula comes up with his answer. This is the clause we have to remember. He learns it from Motzi Shemra. You'll remember Motzi Shemra, when a person, spread a lie about the woman that he married, that she was not a virgin. And there the Torah says he gets lashed and he pays money. So you see, from there you get two punishments. You get lashed, you pay money. So it's possible you get both. So that's where he learns, by Edom Zomim, he can also get two punishments, even though there's a rule you only give one punishment and not two. But there's exceptions. And just like you have an exception, you see, from a Motzi Shemra, you'll say the same thing by Edom Zomim, to which the Gemara said, but you can't compare the two. Motzi Shemra is a knas, is a fine. So you can't learn other cases from a fine. To which Gemara holds that Reb Meir will hold like Rabbi Akiva and say that Edom Zomim is a fine. And since it's a fine, we can learn it from it. And the rabbis who disagree, they'll right now will assume they don't hold it. Edom Zomim is not a fine, and you can't learn it from it. Fine. So that's our relevant sugya. There's still much to talk about in our sugya, but now the Gemara takes a detour. They say there's a second version of Ula's statement, which was made not in regard to our topic of this discussion of the Machlokas, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim, but together a different topic. In other words, everyone knew there was out there a statement of Ula. And Ula said, well, we could learn this from Motzi Shemra. We knew that he had such a statement to answer a question on a Tana. He used an answer. Well, he's going to learn it from Motzi Shemra. So version one we have is he applied it to our Mishnah's Machlokas of Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Why does Reb Meir say you get two punishments while the Chachamim say you get one? The normal rule is you get one. So he said, well, he's going to learn from Motzi Shemra, where the guy lied about his wife, where you see the guy gets two punishments. We'll learn from that. And they're both, according to them, knas, so he learns from that. So now, this next part has nothing to do with our Gemara of Edom Zomim now. Hopefully we'll get it done today and fit into one nice basket, if not, I'll go a little bit in tomorrow. And then when we finish this side point, then we'll come back to discuss the Machlokas, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim, if you give two punishments or not by Edom Zomim. So just know we're going, taking a detour road. There's construction in the Gemara, and we're taking a detour. So Ika de Masni Lahada Ula, there are those who taught Ula's statement, Aha, de Tanya, upon the following brisa, and not on the Mishnah. Now, it's a fascinating topic, very nice concepts over here. We're going to talk about the Avera of Nosar. You bring karbanos, there's a certain time frame where the animal must be eaten. Different karbanos have different time frames. The standard time frame is you shech the animal during the day, you do the sprinkling and everything, you burn the animal, and the food that can be eaten, or even the meat that must be burnt, it has to all be burnt by the next morning. If it reaches the next morning, it's called nosar, which literally means leftovers, beyond the time. You're not allowed to do that. The Torah says, thou shalt not leave anything over. Okay? What do you do if you do leave it over? Well, then you got to burn it. Okay? So what do you have? If you look in the Torah, we're going to see in a minute, there's a negative precept you shall not violate, which is do not leave anything over until the morning, followed by a positive commandment to burn it. So now the question is, what if you did leave it over? Okay. Will you get lashed for it? Because you've transgressed a negative commandment. There's no punishment. Remember, when the Torah says thou shalt not, and it doesn't follow up with a specific punishment of kares or death, then the assumption is it's lashes. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, what if you did leave over the meat? The question is, do you get lashed or not? So this Bryce is going to get a machlokes, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, it's machlokes. They both agree you don't get lashed, but for different reasons. Okay, now let's take a look, and then we're going to ask a question on one of them. We're going to plug in Ula to answer it. The Torah says, this is the initial time of the very first Korban Pesach in Egypt, but it's going to apply in all cases. Lo susiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave anything overnight. Vanoser mimenu ad boker, and that which you leave over until the morning, it doesn't tell you the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk says, you shall burn in fire. Here is the entire pasuk for you to take a look at. There it is. Velo sosir menu ad boker. Don't leave any until the morning. Vanoser menu ad boker. Bo esh tisrofu. You shall burn in the fire. There's a negative charge not to leave it, and then a positive remedy to that. Okay, now the question is, so what is that meaning to tell us? What is the pasuk telling us when it said you should, both statements, when it's saying that you shouldn't and then you should? So the first opinion says, bo hakosav litein asei, achar los asei. The pasuk provides us with a positive commandment after the negative commandment. The positive commandment is what?
Burn it.
The negative commandment is?
Don't leave it over.
So there's a concept, lomar, to teach you, she'ein lokin alav. You're not going to get lashed if you leave it over, provided that you burn it afterwards. Again, what is that buzz statement, a good term to remember by heart? It's called alav hanitak la'aseh. I got it right there. Okay, that's a positive, a negative, a lav. You should get used to these terms. A lav, thou shalt not, from the word lo, you shall not. Hanitak, that gets rectified, la'ase to an ase. And the rule is, if there's a negative commandment, and the Torah then puts in a positive commandment afterwards, which appears to be a way of fixing up the problem, so therefore, that reason it's done is so you will not get lashed. There are certain things you cannot fix up. Let's say you eat forbidden fats. You eat treif. You can't fix it up. You swallowed it. There's no way you can fix it up.
Even if you puke.
It doesn't matter. You cannot fix it up. Certain affairs, they can't be fixed up. Certain things can be fixed up. Okay? Here, you shan't leave it over. So really say, okay, lash him right away. He left it over. But if the Torah goes and gives a positive commandment afterwards, it's expressly saying that as long as he'll burn it afterwards, he won't get lashed. And therefore, he holds, you don't get lashed for transgressing this. Now, what's the classic example of
lashing? What happens if you don't burn it?
That will be a great discussion that we're going to learn down the line. In this Masechta, but a long time from now, it was a big discussion. What is the mechanics of a lav hanitek la'aseh? It's a big discussion. Don't worry your minds about this. It's very complex, but it's an amazing machlokas about this. But we're going to leave it in the simple term.
Why is the time frame to burn it?
That's the heart of the discussion. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a machlokas. Some say, As long as you can fix it up sooner or later. Now sometimes there's certain lav that you could technically wait years till you fix it up. Others say no. As soon as he messes up, we say fix it now or you get lashed. No, but there's other types of averos. There's many averos in the world. Let's look at the classic example is the prohibition against stealing. The Torah says, thou shalt not steal. Shouldn't you get lashed if you steal? It's a negative commandment. But the Torah then says a solution for it. Let's see if this is going to be the right source over here. It's talking about a guy who steals. Yeah. And it shall be when he shall sin and become guilty, he shall return the robbed item that he robbed, right, or the proceeds, or the pledge. Or the, yeah. So we have a resolution, return it. Yeah. Okay? You steal it, return it. So guess what? We don't lash the guy for stealing because he can fix it up. Just return it. This is the remedy. Now, usually the remedy is lashes for a negative transgression. But here, when the Torah is giving you a different remedy, right? The problem is you sinned. We want you to be clear. So, certain of us, the only way to get fixed up spiritually is get lashed. But the Torah says in some cases, what?
You still sinned in
but,
the first place.
But you got lashed. That's the atonement.
But now if you return it, you don't get lashed.
Because you returned it, so you
but
fixed it up.
You still committed the sin originally.
But I know, but now that you fixed it up and you restored the money that was owed, you fixed up the sin. And the Torah is saying that's enough. Okay. If you lied, then you have to bring a korban. There's other things. There's always a remedy. So the question is, how severe is the remedy? So when the Torah says, pay back the money, and they're telling you it's an asay. By the way, it's a positive, you know, there's certain mitzvahs, Sammy, you'll never be able to do in your life. You'll never do the mitzvah of returning money you stole, because I don't think you steal.
Right.
You, thank God we have ganovim, because they do the mitzvah, and since we're all one part of the Jewish people, he does the mitzvah for us. Very important idea. You need to have reshoim in the world. Okay? So now that the... One second, I'll get to you. So the fact that we now are saying that there's a way to fix it, it's all, not in every case. The Torah tells you in certain cases you can fix it. So by theft, right, that's the classic example. There's no lashes, because the Torah says just return it. Now let's discuss that. Now, that's not great length. I'll just say, so there's a machlokes. How quickly does he have to return it and not get lashed? One opinion says, as soon as we find out, you're going to pay or get lashed. Finished. Another opinion says, as long as it's possible for him to perform the assay, we can't lash him because he can still fix it. So technically, he says, I'm sorry, I ain't got the funds. I ain't got the I spent it all, and I'm a pauper. Where do you want me to pay it from? Yeah. All right, so therefore, you can't lash him. Right. And technically, when will you know that he can't return it? When he dies. Yeah. You know, or if he would...
So there's no lashes. Or, what about saying there are lashes?
Well, no, there's a remedy. There's a remedy.
Yeah, but if you wait till he dies, and he doesn't
get... So he doesn't get the remedy, and he's got problems. And he goes to heaven, he's got major problems. But that's the debate. How quickly must it be rectified? And in some, there's all kinds of examples. We'll have more over here as well.
Right,
yes, go ahead.
So does that imply that you cannot rectify this sort of thing with tshuva?
You always have to do tshuva.
Separate,
tshuva goes with every aver in the book. If you don't do tshuva, you haven't rectified anything. This is on top of tshuva.
So tshuva is not enough. Okay.
Never not enough. It's a fair shi Gemara in Yoma. Gemara in Yoma says, lists of four types of sins. First sin is when God tells you positively to do something and you don't do it. Okay, that's not such a bad sin. That only requires tshuva. It means to say, Hashem, from now on, I promise I'm going to do it. Tomorrow, I am going to do it. Let's say you don't daven. You don't put on tefillin. Okay, what do we do with you? We don't lash you. So what do? You have transgress. You're a bad guy. So how do you fix it up? You do tshuva. Sincere tshuva. How do we know you do tshuva? The next day, you're putting on tefillin. Okay, then when you transgress a lav, a negative, a regular negative, then you have to do tshuva, and you have to get lashed. You need both, because it's a worse crime. When you go against a don't, thou shalt not, oh, I shall, and I don't give a, right? That's much worse than not doing the positive. You understand that, right? If you ask your child to do something, they don't do it, it's one thing. But if they turn around and curse you out, that's much worse, right? So therefore, you need tshuva plus you have to get lashed. Then there's other averas that are worse than that. Let's say ones that come with a kares penalty. Let's say, well, then you're going to need all kinds of other things. You need tshuva, Although I forgot to mention Yom Kippur. You also need Yom Kippur is in the mix over there. Some things you need Yom Kippur, tshuva and Yom Kippur, and then whatever else the Torah says for a regular lav. You need tshuva and Yom Kippur. So a regular lav of stealing, you need tshuva and you need Yom Kippur, and of course you have to return the money. Yeah. Then there's others that require even more suffering. So that some of that is lashes, some is other things. So there's different ways, but you must always have tshuva no matter what. That's without saying is to do tshuva. Only by an asay is that all you need to do. But everything else is any other avera for sure needs Yom Kippur, and then others will also need lashes or whatever. Okay, very good. So that's the issue. So who says this opinion that when you leave Nosar the next morning and then but it has a positive to fix it up. Lomar is coming to teach you don't get lashed. Who's this opinion? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says you don't get lashed for this. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, Omer, nope, he disagrees. Some amend this text. Marsha and Maram amend the text to read Rabbi Yaakov rather than Rabbi Akiva. And that is indeed the version found in other places in the Talmud where this price is quoted. Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. Especially compelling about this amendation is the fact that Rabbi Akiva was the mentor of Rabbi Yehuda, make it unlikely Rabbi Akiva's ruling would be mentioned by a brisa following Rabbi Yehuda's and in response to it, as we will see. So many, I don't know if you have in your little...
There's a star.
Over there. So many say it's going to be read Rabbi Yaakov. Again, remember, Rabbi Akiva was the mentor of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the rabbi before. So it's not likely he would be mentioned in a brisa following Rabbi Yehuda in a response if he's the Rebbe. He's the Rebbe. So therefore, many say it's Rabbi Yaakov. You could see that Akiva and Yaakov is not very far different. Yeah. You just take an aleph out at the end and put a yud in the front, and you get Yaakov. So you could see where it could be a mistake over there. Anyway, we'll take whatever version you have. It's opinion number two. He disagrees. He says the reason you got the lash is not because it's got an assay fixing it up. Lo min Hashem huze. This isn't, literally means this is not the name for this. It means this is not the reason it doesn't get lashed. He has another reason why it doesn't get lashed, and that's another rule that we're already aware of. Why do we not get, he agrees you don't get lashed, but for a totally different reason. El mishum dehavale, but rather because it is a lav she'ein bo masa. It's a negative transgression that is done without doing an action. You don't have to do anything to transgress it, right? Sleep. Eating treif, you're doing an action, eating treif. Torah says, thou shalt not leave it over. So what did you do? You left it over. What does leaving over require you to do? Sleep. Nothing. And that's a lav she'ein bo maisa, where we've already brought you an opinion. And this was way back on Beis Amid Beis when we say, why don't we lash a person... Adim Zomim, remember we asked, why don't you lash? Why don't we say the source for lashing Adim Zomim is because thou shalt not swear falsely? Remember? What was the answer? The Tana of the Mishnah holds that we don't lash for a lav she'ein bo maisa. So according to Rabbi Yaakov or Rabbi Akiva, v'chol lav she'ein bo maisa ain't lokin alof. A lav without an action, you don't get lashed for it. That's the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. Okay? Why do you not get lashed for nosar, leftover meat? So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get lashed because the assay afterwards fixes it up. Rabbi Yaakov says no, it's a lav that doesn't have an action. Doesn't have an action, you don't lash him for that. Two different reasons. Now that's what it says in the Brisa. Okay? We have two legitimate reasons. One says it's a lav that fixes it up. One says it's a lav that doesn't have an action. We will see that, you know, there is a machlokes in Shas about if you lash for a avera that doesn't have an action or not. We've showed you opinions that says you don't get lashed for it. There will be opinions that say you do. But anyway, clearly that's Rabbi Yaakov's position. Now let's make some implications. Let's make some inferences. Back upstairs to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, you know you don't get lashed? Because it has an essay afterwards. Fine. It would seem from that, if that's the reason he gives, why didn't he give the reason? Because it's a lav that doesn't have an action. If Rabbi Yehuda says, you know you don't get lashed because there's an assay that fixes it up. Why didn't he say, and also, or whatever, because it's a lav that doesn't have an action? Since he doesn't say it, what can we imply from that?
That he thinks it is an action.
That no.
It requires an action.
No, he's going to say you get lashed even if there is no action. He'll be of the opinion that a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, a lav that does get lashed. That's what the Gemara is going to deduce from the Braisa. Michlal, we can deduce to Rebbe Yehuda, who said the reason you don't get lashed is because there's an assay that fixes it up. He instead savar, lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, loikin a lav. You get lashed for a lav that doesn't have an action. That's what he meant. Why didn't you say that? Especially since right afterwards you have Rabbi Yaakov saying you don't get lashed for does action. Must be he holds. I mean, clearly there's no action here. There was no action, just letting it stay. He must hold. You get lashed for that too. So now comes the great question. Minole, where did Rabbi Yehuda come up with this? Now, in other words, Gemara is assuming that the default position is you don't get lashed for something that where you didn't do an action. And what is that default position based on? Take a look over here. The laws of Malchus. When the Torah talks about lashing, what's the very next mitzvah in the Torah that's connected to it? Is you shall not muzzle an ox. When he's plowing, and he's entitled to eat on the job. Lo sachsam shor bedisho. That's a negative action. How are you able to transgress that? With an action or without an action?
With an action.
Which is? Exactly. Exactly. The Torah tells you there's a concept called lashes. And the very next mitzvah, thou shalt not. So the Gemara says this is now giving us the standard of what a lav to get lashed has to be like. We're going to see throughout this Masechta that anytime you do a lav to be lashed, it has to be similar in general to this muzzling. And we'll see a number of similarities, but the obvious one is it's got to be an action. You're muzzling it. From this arrangement, the Gemara below, that's going to be in 13b, derives the prohibition against muzzling is the prototype for Malchus Bar prohibitions. This is the source for the rule invoked by Rabbi Yehuda that a prohibition that is remedied by a positive commandment does not incur Malchus. Right? Because you see as well, by muzzling, there's no positive afterwards. So if you have a positive, then I guess you don't get lashed because it's not like muzzling. Muzzling, there is no positive. Thou shalt not muzzle, and if you muzzle, take it off. It doesn't say that. So once you muzzle, you get lashed. Just as the muzzling prohibition is not remedied by a positive commandment, so any prohibition is subject to Malchus long as it's not remedied by a positive commandment. Same idea. So now, the muzzling prohibition also possesses the features that it involves an action. Thus, Rehuda maintains that to be liable to Malchus, a prohibition does not need to involve an action. It must be because he has some other source which, in his opinion, overrides the above source and indicates in the matter of action, a prohibition does not need to be similar to the muzzling. And what's the source? You hear the question. We derive all the laws of lashes of how it has to be played out from muzzling. So that's the default understanding of being lashed for a lav. And one of them is you have to have an action. So now, how does Rabbi Yehuda say, you know why he didn't get lashed by leaving over the nosar? Is because it had a positive commandment following it. That's good, that's a good. But why didn't you say the reason is because it doesn't have an action? Must be he holds that even without an action, you get lashed. But how, that's different than the default position of muzzling. So where's your source that overrides this source? There must be somewhere in the Torah. Where do you have in the whole Torah where a person doesn't do an action and gets lashed? Where is that? So we're going to... Now we come to the Amar Ula. Remember we said there's a second version. So Ula's going to say that thing we said before to remedy this issue. Remember, in our Machlokas, Reb Meir Nachum in the Mishnah wanted to know what was the source of Reb Meir says that you give him two lashes. Mm-hmm. What was the source of getting two lashes? So Amar Ula said, what was the source? Motzi Shemra, yeah? Now we ask Reb Yehuda, what's your source that a lav without an action gets lashed? What's your source? Then when you transgress a negative commandment without an action, you're going to get lashed. What's the overriding idea? So this is where we plug in the very same Ula. Amar Ula. Ula said, I'll tell you from where. Gomar mi Motzi Shemra. We'll learn from Motzi Shemra again. The one who defames his wife. Right? He marries the woman. He goes to bed the next day. He says she's not a virgin. Okay. Has he done an action?
Nope.
No, because we already said verbalization is not as an action. And what happens to the guy? What if he's lying?
He gets lashed.
Ah, so you see clear There's a case where even you don't do anything, you get lashed. So that's the source of Rabbi Yehuda. Where do you get this idea that it's possible to have a lav that you get lashed for even though you don't do an action? That's the source. And that's the same statement of Ula that we applied not for not getting lashed, for getting lashed for an inaction, but to give two punishments, lashing and money. In our Gemara, before today, we wanted to, what's the source? Yeah. Lashing and money. Well, you see from Motzi Shemra, lashing and money. Here we see another thing. It doesn't have to be an action to get lashed for it. And that's where we plug in Reb Ula's statement there. Yeah. Ma Motzi, let's finish it up. Ma Motzi Shemra, just like the defamer. Is a love, Shemo Maisa, is a love that doesn't have an action, like in a love, you get lashed for it. This is going to teach us everywhere else. Af kol lav shemo maisa lokin a lav. So we're going to learn everywhere else. So now we're going to learn from the case of Nosar or anywhere else that you would get lashed. So Nosar would be lashed if it wasn't for the fact it is an assay that fixes it up. So this becomes Rabbi Yaakov's source, and that's his opinion. It's very important to remember the names of the people. This is like a Shas opinion. You're going to hear this idea, well, a negative transgression without an action doesn't get lashed. Not according to everybody. Rabbi Yaakov clearly is of the position that says you do get lashed even without an action. His source is Motzi Shemra. So we're going to say, well, that's interesting, but you know, you can only use a source if it's, we'll call it a neutral type of source. Maybe, you know what? In other words, we're saying from the fact that a man who defames his woman did not do an action and get lashed, I can learn from the whole Torah now, whenever you do a lav without an action, you get lashed. Gemara always will then ask a question. Well, maybe the reason it gets lashed because it's much stricter for other reasons, and that doesn't necessarily apply in other cases. You can't always learn the whole Torah from one case. Maybe it's a unique case. Maybe there's something unique about it. And since it's so unique and so severe, only by that do we say it, but not by other things. If we could find something with Motzi Shemra that takes it out of the standard, ordinary lav and makes it like a worse lav, then we could say, well, over here, it's such a bad lav. That's why he gets lashed, even though he didn't do anything. But we couldn't learn other places from this. That's what we're going to attempt to do. And going to say, how could you learn from Motzi Shemra? We know it's a unique case. And this is the question. Mala Motzi Shemra, wait a minute. Let's look at normal lavs. A normal lav. What's the punishment for a normal lav? Lashes. Does a normal lav have an extra punishment too? Usually not. Usually has one punishment. But what do you see by Motzi Shemra?
You get punished.
What?
Lashes.
And
plus
money.
The money.
Money, yeah.
Where do you have that by a lav? You get two punishments. Why are you getting two punishments? You should just get lashed.
Yeah.
What's this money? Must be. Ooh, it's a really terrible aveira. And since that's going, and therefore, you know what? Just like it's not the norm. Because you get lashed and you pay, so it's going to be not the norm. And even if you didn't do anything.
Right.
In other words, Motzi Shemra is such a terrible sin, we throw the book at the guy. Not only does he get lashed, he has to pay money. And not only that, but even without an action. So how are you going to learn other cases that aren't as heinous? How do I know it's worse? Because where do you have a lav that gets a lashing and a monetary payment? What's going on over here? So why you want to teach me about other cases, let's say Nosar, that you should get lashed, was for the assay. What do you mean Nosar's not as bad as Motzi Shemra? So how are you going to learn from the whole Torah? This is uniquely strict, because normally you get lashed, period. No, lashed, and he has to pay. So how could you learn other cases from that? That's what Gemara asks. So the way you refute such a question is you find, so I said, okay, so maybe we can't learn it from Motzi Shemra.
Maybe another case.
So let's find another one. So Elam Reish Lager. I'll tell you where we could learn that if you don't do an action, you get lashed. Gummer Adim Zomim. Let's learn from Adim Zomim. Adim Zomim. What happens? Is it an action?
No.
No. Are there cases where we lash them straight out for Adim Zomim? Let's say he said he's a divorcee, but he's not. So what do you see? There's no action. You get lashed. Oh, let's learn from Adim Zomim. Ma Adim Zomim lav shembo maisa loikin alav. By Adim Zomim, you can get lashed. For example, what we said where they testify that Cohen was the son of a divorcee. We should get lashed over there. Right? So you see, there's a lav shame of my. Is there an action by Adam Zomim? No, just talking. So let's learn from Adam Zomim the rule that you get lashed for any aver that doesn't have an action. Av kol lav shame of my salokin love. The word is going to say, no. Adam Zomim also has an extra strictness different than others. And what's the extra strictness by that? Here's an interesting thing. Every case in the Torah, the Torah says, thou shalt not. And you transgress, you get lashed. What must happen for you to get lashed? Number one, he did it by accident or has to be intentional? Number one, it has to be intentional. How do we know it's intentional?
You went through the whole process of interrogation.
You have to have witnesses. Yes. But what do the witnesses have to do? Warning.
Yeah.
To get punished, you need to have a warning. No? Is it ever you ever find that a person is going to get punished? I'm not talking about a shogay we're bringing a korban chatas. I'm going to punish a guy eats treif. What must happen for him to get lashed? There are witnesses that say, don't eat that meat, it's treif. If you do, you're going to get lashed. He says, I don't care. Then they go to court and they say, that's the way it goes. Okay, Adim Zomamin, they're getting lashed, yeah? Who warned them?
Wouldn't the Beit Din have to warn them?
Wait a minute. Who warned them? You can only warn someone when you know they're about to do a sin. Here's a piece of treif. Don't eat the treif.
Okay,
he wants to be machal Shabbos. He's turning the ignition up. Don't turn the ignition up. A witness comes to court. You don't know he's lying. Even when he's talking, you don't know he's lying. They're not warning. It's not like, we know you're going to lie. We're telling you not to lie. And don't. There's no such thing as a warning. So what happened? They're getting punished and they never get a lie. They never get a warning. Since that's so strict, since when do you get lashed without a warning? It's so strict. I guess even if you don't do an action, you get lashed. But we can't learn other places, because every other place you want to learn, you got to get a warning to get the punishment. So ma'ale edim zomamim shekein ein srichen hasra. You don't need to have a warning, because the whole thing doesn't make sense. Right? For a person to be sentenced to malchus or death, he must be warned before the sin. The Marek Sudas concludes that this requirement does not apply to Zomim and witness. It says, clear the Torah treats Zomim witnesses too with unusual severity. If so, the fact that a Zomim witness receives lashes without performing an action may be another unique feature of this law to which other sins cannot be compared. So right now we're stuck with Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says that a law without an action does get lashed. Where are we learning it from? We tried to learn it from Motzi Shemra. We said we can't learn that because it's already stricter, because it also gets lashed and a punishment on top of that. We try to learn from Adim Zomamim. We said, but Adim Zomamim is stricter, that it needs a warning. So where are we going to learn it from? That's where we're going to stop it. We will come up with an answer tomorrow about that. Okie dokie.